Welcome back. 9 o'clock. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bose Arth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studio. The most trusted name in automobiles. It is May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Who are the guys that, and teams, players, coaches, that if you're a Colorado sports fan would be like Darth Vader, Emperor Palpatine, would be part of the Empire, the First Order. We'll make up your good guys, your Luke Skywalkers, your Han Solos, your Princess Leia's, your Chewies. I do agree from a hair standpoint, Charlie Blackman probably.
Yeah.
Very Chewbacca. You do that very well, by the way. Thank you for dropping that in. All right, so text or call us, 970-242-1340. And I want to thank Chris Hanks for coming on last hour. We continue on with Mav Day today on the program. And with us right now, he is the coach of the RMAC regular season champion CMU men's lacrosse team. Vince Smith joins us. Vince, I appreciate the time. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
First off, congratulations on claiming the regular season title, the win against Westminster 16-7. You nailed down the conference championship, and you've won 4 RMAC regular season titles in 5 chances, 6 titles overall. I mean, it's, once again, another testament to how good the program is at CMU with your men's lacrosse team.
Thank you. You know, we're working really hard to try to keep that, the program moving in the right direction and just continue to keep that momentum that we've had building over the past few years moving forward this season and into next year.
Well, certainly Jed Brummett had a big game against Westminster to claim the regular season title. He had 5 goals in that game to lead your team. Just an outstanding effort by him.
Yeah, he was able to find some soft spots in the zone. Westminster switches back and forth between a man-to-man and a zone defense, and Jed's got a really high level of lacrosse IQ and was able to find some pockets in the zone, and we had some feeders get him the ball. And I think all of those goals that he had, all 5 of them were assisted goals, so that's always a good thing in the sport of lacrosse.
Vince Smith, the coach of the CMU men's lacrosse team, with us today on the Team Sports Network. And then your goalie, Nolan Hoffman, 8 saves. He improves to 6-0. He also had a game-high 6 ground balls. Forced a couple of turnovers, too. So Nolan Hoffman on the defensive end giving you a solid effort.
He did. He did a really nice job. You know, Nolan really has stepped up and came into his own the past few weeks, really growing in between the pipes for us. And as a sophomore, we're excited to have him back and see kind of where the future goes with him in the years to come, as well as finishing out this year strong.
Vince Smith, coach of the CMU men's lacrosse team, with us today on the Team Sports Network. We should acknowledge Nolan Hoffman, the RMAC Defensive Player of the Week, and Sergio Paleo, who had also a very good game against Westminster to claim the RMAC regular season title. Both those guys, Vince, bring home the weekly award.
Yeah, they did a really nice job. You know, again, on the defensive end, Nolan just standing strong between the pipes and making those saves and creating some turnovers in our 10-man aggressive ride. And then Sergio, had 2 goals and 5 assists. 3 of those went to Jed Brummett, and who we'd spoken of earlier. Sergio, as a freshman, is an extremely fast player that has great vision. And, again, just excited to see where his career takes him over the next few years as well.
Maverick men's lacrosse coach Vince Smith with us today on the Team Sports Network. By winning the regular season title, Vince, your team will host the RMAC tournament over at Maverick Field. Your team right now 18th ranked in the nation at 8-1, 5-0 in the RMAC, and you get 4-seeded Adams State. They're winless on the season. You'll play them for the 3rd time, semifinal 3 o'clock Friday over at Maverick Field. So obviously a team that you know well and a team that you've had great success against in the Grizzlies.
Sure. You know, we played them, this past Friday or 2 Fridays ago or Sundays ago now, and the guys did a really nice job playing hard in that game. But the first time around, we kind of were slow getting off the bus and didn't really play that great. So 2 wins against them this year, but you can always throw it out the window in the tournament. Best team's going to win. The team who decides to come to play the hardest and the longest is going to be the winner that day. So we're hopeful that ends up being us, obviously, on Friday.
And hopefully you'll be playing in the championship match 2 o'clock Saturday at Maverick Field. The other semifinal is Westminster. They're the 2-seed against CSU Pueblo, the 3-seed. And Westminster, the team, of course, you beat to claim the regular season title. It's a Westminster team that has also, certainly recently, has captured the 2019 RMAC tournament. beat your team 9-8 in double overtime. What was a great match between you and the Griffins. But Westminster is there that, on that other side of the bracket to potentially face them on Saturday.
Sure. You know, I think that they've got a contest in front of them against Pueblo that, you know, coming into it, looking at records, they defeated them earlier in the season. Westminster should probably get through to Saturday. But, again, you know, best team's going to win the game and be there on Saturday, and hopefully that's us and whoever that ends up being. But, yeah, Westminster has a chance to be there. They've continued to improve, and something that we're talking about as a team is we can't look at the scores of our previous games and think that those are going to be an indication of how this upcoming weekend's going to go. We've got to come to work, and we've got to come to earn a championship, because as you alluded to, 2 years ago in 19, we left it over there in Salt Lake City, and we'd really like to bring it back home here to Grand Junction.
There are tickets available, limited number of tickets available for the matches on Friday. And you can go to cmumavericks.com/tickets to get your tickets for the RMAC men's lacrosse tournament over at Maverick Field. I do want to ask you this very quickly. I know you've got a call coming up. We wanted to be able to get you to that call with the NCAA, but it's your fourth conference title in the last 5 years. What has been the key in this program, Vince, of being able to be that good, that competitive in lacrosse, which is still, you know, the program for both the men and the women in lacrosse has not, neither one have been around that long in terms of having a deep history. What's been the key to your success with this program?
I think it's been trying to surround ourselves with good people. Obviously, I think that here at Colorado Mesa University, our administration and our president, you know, do a fantastic job of making sure that we are competitive, having great facilities, affordable school, great academic programs as well. But then the other people, you know, having good assistant coaches, having good strength conditioning coaches, having good players and parents. I think those have all been a major part of the components that have led to our success, is that real kind of communal feel and family feel that we've made our program. And when everyone comes to work hard and you're working with good people, it makes it that much easier to do those things.
Vince, congratulations on the regular season title. Best of luck this weekend. Get out and cheer on the Mavericks over at Maverick Field this weekend for the RMAC Men's Lacrosse Championships. I appreciate it, Vince.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
You too. Take care. All right, Vince Smith, coach of the Maverick Men's Lacrosse team. You know, you look across the board. We talk about this, seems like every week we do, you know, Mav Day here on the mm-hmm. program, that you know, baseball's number one team in the nation.
Yep.
Softball team's a top 20 team.
Yep.
Men's lacrosse is number 18. The women are nationally ranked. It just keeps going on and on, the kind
I've
of success.
I've been saying it for years. They need to turn that old Albertsons building into just the RMAC trophy, you know, factory. Just print them out, take them across the street, and leave them there. That's where they belong.
So I mentioned the Mavericks play Adams State on Friday at 3 o'clock at Maverick Field. You know how many times Adams State has beaten the Mavericks? In lacrosse?
With a squadouche.
It'd be a squadouche. 23-0. The Mavericks are 23-0 since both schools started the program, their respective programs, in 2011.
I'm not going to say it, but, you know.
They could 24-0?
I'm not gonna be the jerk. Okay. I'm not going to say it.
I'm just that confident.
Yeah, I'm confident.
And Vince and his team to get it done against Adams State on Friday.
I'm confident, but 3 weeks ago I was doing the Mesa game, Andrew Morris, no-hitter into the eighth.
And you blew it.
And I said he's, you know, hit zeros across the scoreboard, knock. So I'm not gonna say anything. Because that happens to me a lot, and I don't want to be the guy.
It's okay. Well, I'm gonna go positive.
I'm gonna be bad luck charm.
I'm gonna be confident that the CMU men will get it done Friday against Adams State. All right, so coming up in a couple of minutes on the program, we'll continue with Mav Day, and up next we'll talk with interim head softball coach Mercedes Boatte as the Maverick softball team. They've won now 5 straight regular season titles. They'll host the RMAC softball tournament. We'll talk with her coming up in just a little bit. All right, 9:09, and we've been asking you on this May the 4th Be With You Day here on the program about, you know, a little Star Wars fun today, all right? This whole thing of May the 4th Be With You, of who would be Darth Vader and Emperor Palpatine in the sports world if you're a Colorado sports fan. Who are the good guys? The Rebel Alliance? Luke and Han and Rey, Princess Leia. Text or call us 970-242-1340. say we've got a few here. Let's see. This is from Mark, not about our question necessarily. Hi, guys. Just a question about the Rockies GM. I've heard from the beginning how the Rockies are a small market team without the funds to compete with the consistently good teams. With that said, does it matter who the GM is? Or is mediocrity their destiny until ownership changes? Have a good one.
Mediocrity is their destiny until the ownership changes, because they don't have a problem spending money. A couple, 3 years ago, they were 11th in baseball in payroll. They were 9th the year before that. It's not that they spend money. It's that they spend money poorly.
We've always said that.
Yeah. I'm taking a look where they're at right now. They've gone down a lot, but they've also gotten rid of some of their hefty contracts. Like Ian Desmond's not on the books this year because he opted out. Daniel Murphy's gone. The three useless bullpen pieces are gone. Shaw, McGee, Davis. So now they're 18th right now, according to Spotrac, in total salary in the 26-man payroll. But they're at $77 million, I guess. Actually, I think I have this sorted incorrectly. Let me look again. Yeah, they're 19th at $77 million. They're behind the Royals, who are surprisingly decent, and the Tigers, who are unsurprisingly awful. But it's not that they don't spend money. It's they don't spend it wisely. They don't go out and get good quality free agents who, you know, maybe their scouting and analytics department could go out and find a gem, right, that maybe not a lot of teams are going after, but he could definitely help the Rockies, like a Colton Wong. He was not highly sought after. I think he ended up going back to the Cardinals on kind of a lower deal, but they didn't even make a run at him. You know, they didn't ask for him back in a Nolan Arenado trade. He may have moved off somewhere, but he was the name that came up last year about a guy. It's they don't spend smartly.
$70 million on Ian Desmond. $22 million on Daniel Murphy. And then there was the implosion of the Super Bowl pin and how much money they spent on Shaw and McGee. Mm-hmm. And
wait, like $90 million for those three guys?
At least Wade Davis, who set a franchise record for saves, at least they got something close to a return in value. Not
yeah, they
nearly
got a
enough.
Year out of him.
Yeah, they got something out of him, which is more than you can say about the other two. Just it's always been poorly invested, you know, money in players that they brought in from a free agent standpoint. All right, we'll talk CMU softball coming up here in a moment. Who do we have on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
This is Sam from Fruta.
Okay.
Sam, good morning. How are you?
Jim Davis, I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing well.
You know, I was just one more out son of a gun when I got home last night. And the fact I had to try to stay awake until 8:30 to watch the Avalanche game, I didn't make it very far. I saw...
did Sam go 99 after about the first period?
I was in and out during the first period, and
okay.
They were, you know, I was watching that, and I...
You were on the ropes, even, right? You're on the ropes, just hanging on, fighting to hang on, like a little kid, like a four-year-old that doesn't want to take a nap, and
there you
ultimately
go.
You succumb to it?
My wife said, wake up, I'm awake.
I'm watching it.
What I saw for the first two periods, I thought... Boy, they're going to get their brains beat out tonight. They just are getting outplayed on everything you try. And I was really amazed. I finally woke up and crawled off the bed about 1 o'clock in the morning. And my wife woke up, and I says, well, how bad did the Avalanche get their brains beat out? She says, 5-4. I says, well, they got back most of the way. She says, no, they won 5-4 in overtime.
You're going to all be
kidding me. Obviously, I missed a better game than I thought I did.
Yes, you did. You, Nazem Kadri, first time in 20 games, scored a goal last night, got it tied up, and then Andre Burakovsky with the game winner in OT last night. So, yeah, they're now 2 points behind Vegas for the West lead. So they've saying there's a chance, and it's a pretty good chance with 8 games left in the season, 8 or 6, I believe. I can't remember.
It's getting short. I'm still a believer. So, but you know, you were talking earlier about the new interim GM at one of the other teams there in Denver.
The one that plays baseball?
yeah.
Or tries allegedly. To play, allegedly plays well, baseball. It's been rumored.
They show up usually. this Schmidt, I'm not familiar with him, and maybe he's a great guy, but, you know, it just works out about the same as that with that outfit over there. You know, instead of bringing in someone that knows what they're doing and a good baseball mind, you know, they decide to pick the guy that washes their cars every week. It just, you know, I get so frustrated. My wife is a fan, and she's hanging in there, but, you know, Buckeye boy, she knows what Cleveland fans start been feeling for a long time.
It's a little taste.
It's a sad situation. This being May 4th, didn't you mention something, or somebody, I thought somebody mentioned Chewbacca for Nasty Charlie there. You know, that's probably not a bad deal, but I think Chewbacca has a better batting average.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Big strike zone, though. That's the only thing about him. It's a big strike zone.
Yeah. He's got a lot of pop in the back.
You guys have a great day.
Though.
Yeah, but if he runs into one, though, it's... You know, it's going to go way over Tatooine, I believe. I think so.
Hey, have a great day, guys.
Thank you, Sam. Take care.
You know, echo Sam's point, I didn't catch the end of the Az game last night either.
Well, nor did I. Watch the Nuggets for a bit, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed.
I wake up in the morning, check some box scores, see if I can find a recap, and then I go to Twitter, right? Because usually you get a good idea of how the game developed with certain people. One of the first tweets I come across was Mark Mosier. Does Altitude TV, former radio guy, friend of the program. His tweet last night, my campaign begins today. If I'm elected NHL commissioner, my first proclamation is no more Avalanche games, 8:30 Mountain Time, ever.
Good luck with that, Mark.
Good luck, but I'm with you.
Good luck. I agree.
That's a late puck drop. Oh, man.
I agree. All right. Well, we'll take a break here in a moment and come back and talk CMU softball. Here's something that gets... I did not realize that Matt Adams was a Rocky.
I didn't until they called him
until
up.
Until they called him up. Like,
actually, it wasn't even when they called him up. It was the Athletic article talking about who made the decision.
Nick Croak wrote it. There's 11 people
in that call.
Exactly. By Black. Well, it's a collaborative effort. Well, now I would think that Schmidt will be the guy that makes that decision. But
I didn't know he was a Rocky either.
I was like, I didn't know that Matt Adams was a Rocky.
Slightly under the radar signing, you think?
Big City. We'll see if Big City, his nickname, Big City, has any impact on this team. Remember a few years ago, there was a lot of talk about trading, I think it was Tulowitzki to the Cardinals, and Matt Adams was going to be part of that deal? Seems like 50,000 years ago.
Years and years ago.
All right, 9:18, we will take a break.
Pop off the bench.
Yeah, we'll see if Big City can... help the Mile High City love the Rockies a little bit
32.
More. Yeah, we'll see what happens with him. But now called up by the Rockies. All right, 9:18. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado Sports Leader.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the team.
I take great pride in proudly presenting.
It's Mavs Day on the Jim Davis Show.
Welcome back in, 9:22. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bose Arth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. And joining us on Mav Day today, interim head coach of the Colorado Mesa softball team, regular season champs for the fifth straight year, Mercedes Boatte joins us. Mercedes, I appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Congratulations on clinching a fifth straight RMAC regular season title. Went to Chadron, Nebraska to get it done, and you're able to shut out the Eagles twice to clinch your fifth straight conference regular season title. Still got that series with Fort Lewis to wrap things up, but you've already wrapped up the title, and you'll be hosting the RMAC tournament coming up here on May 13th.
Yes, things are looking pretty good here. Going to Chadron, we gave up a lot of runs in that second game, and I asked them, okay, for day two, let's not give up any runs. That's the goal. I didn't know if it was actually going to be achieved, but we did it, so that was really exciting.
Well, they took it to heart. No doubt about that. They certainly did. With a 7-0 win and 10-0 victories And, you know, you look at how that played out in that first game. Ellie Smith, it's a two-run homer. She had the no-hitter. And game was just one out shy of a no-hitter in that first game. Boy, she got it done both at the plate and in the pitching circle in that first game.
Yeah, she's doing really well. And every once in a while she's a little off, but usually she's either really good with pitching or hitting. And that one game was almost a no-hitter. She was just killing it. She was cruising, really low pitch count, and getting a ton of ground balls. And one of them just went through the legs of our shortstop. She felt super bad about it, but we didn't. You know, still getting the third out there about two batters later.
Mercedes Boatte, interim head coach of the CMU softball team with us. Smith hitting that two-run homer. She leads the RMAC 16 home runs on the season. And was this something you kind of expected from her this year, Mercedes, that kind of power from Ellie Smith this year?
I mean, we always hope for a ton of power. We didn't expect this much. And really, coming in, she didn't bat a whole lot last year. She transferred in at semester, and we knew she was a powerful hitter, but we really wanted her more for pitching. And now this year, we've kind of put her in, like, no, you're going to bat every game. Let's put you in that power role, that RBI role, and she's kind of taken away with it, and she's just a super, super strong kid.
Mercedes Boatte, interim head coach of the CMU softball team with us today on the Team Sports Network. Should mention that Allie Disler also, she had a bomb, a three-run home run that came in Friday's game. Disler going yard for you in that first game as well, or that weekend as well.
Yeah, we actually moved her down in the lineup. She's been batting fifth for a while. We moved her down to seventh and really just asked her to help produce some more RBIs in that spot, because kind of that seventh spot, we haven't been doing a lot of RBIs. And I don't know if she took that to heart, or maybe it was motivation to get back higher in the lineup, but she did awesome. The three home runs, and a lot of them were all multiple RBI home runs, and she hit 500 on the weekend. She did great.
Mercedes Boatte, the interim head coach of the CMU softball team, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And then game two against Chadron State. You mentioned Ellie Smith came just an out away from getting a no-hitter. You wanted your team to go out and shut them down offensively in that final weekend of the series. And the collaboration of Paige Adair and Shea Mauser, Mercedes, got it done. Those two pitchers had a sensational game two, leading to that 10-0 shutout.
Yeah, sometimes that last game of the series can be just kind of a hit-a-thon, but they did well just getting ahead, making the balls move, still getting strikeouts, and really just staying ahead and keeping in control. So it was really nice to see.
So was there much of a celebration when you realized you'd won your fifth straight conference regular season, Todd? Was there much of a celebration? Or, hey, look, we've got work to do. We got the RMAC tournament coming up. We have bigger fish to fry. This is great. This is nice right now. But what was the reaction of your team to winning another conference title? Was it kind of, yay, we got it done? Or was there much celebration? Or was it just, hey, it's business as usual. We still have work to do.
Well, the game ended, and they're like, oh, like, yeah, we won, check that box kind of thing. There's more to do. But they're just like, okay, we get rings. We get conference rings. So they're excited about that. And then it was like, okay, next thing. We got games next weekend. You know, when are we practicing? RMAC tournament's coming up. We're at home. We officially got that out of the way. So a little, like, very minimal celebration, and then really just knowing we still have about a month left of playing.
Of course, we'll talk about the RMAC tournament coming up, which you'll be hosting over at Bergman Field, but you still have a series left with Fort Lewis, where it's made up from March 14th and 15th due to some COVID tests for Fort Lewis. So you'll have that to make up down there this weekend, starting on Friday. So the approach this weekend, you know, certainly you've already wrapped up the conference regular season title to be hosting at Bergman Field. You want to go out, and obviously, like anything, you want to go out and sweep the weekend and beat the Skyhawks and continue the success you've had in the regular season. But what's the approach for you this weekend in terms of player management and those kind of things, and keeping players sharp but also a little bit rested for the RMAC tournament?
We actually gave them an extra day off this week. So yesterday we didn't practice, and it was rainy, so it was really nice. But just keeping it simple and really just kind of keeping them in shape. Not super long practices, but really efficient. And the opportunity this weekend with Fort Lewis is, obviously we want to win four games, but we kind of want to, we can end their season so that they don't make the RMAC tournament. So that's kind of, we can be the bully a little bit, but that's kind of a motivator, win four games, and they probably don't make it. So,
Well, Mercedes, we'll hope that the winning continues in the regular season, and you make it a sad ending for the Fort Lewis Skyhawks.
Yeah.
We appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Congratulations on guiding this team to a conference regular season title, fifth straight for the CMU softball team. I appreciate the time. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, Mercedes Boatte, interim head coach of the CMU softball team, joining us on the program today. Once again, they'll host the RMAC tournament. That's already been solidified. May 13th, it'll start next Thursday over at Bergman Field for the RMAC softball tournament. All right, 928, Jim along with the Buckeye boy today. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. We've been on this May the 4th be with you day. Who would make your empire first order, depending on what flavor of Star Wars you've enjoyed, the past or the present versions of the film? Who are your good guys? We have one from Bri Guy this morning. Doesn't want to leave out the ladies. Lindsey Vonn for Leia.
Oh, okay.
Michaela Schifrin for Rey, the two outstanding skiers from right here in Colorado. Gold medal winning Lindsey Vonn in the Super G. So
not bad.
Not bad at all. All right, still time to send those in today to win Qdoba, 970-242-1340, 970-242-1340. All right, let's get to this day in sports history. And on this day, back in 1938, Lloyd Wehner hit a home run, two triples, and a single, accounting for seven Pittsburgh Pirates runs and a 9-5 win over the Brooklyn Dodgers at Ebbets Field. 1946, Assault won the Kentucky Derby by 8 lengths, which was the largest margin of victory in the Derby at that time. He went on to win the Triple Crown. Also on this day, 1977, Bill Russell resigned as head coach and general manager of the Seattle Supersonics. Think about that. He was both. Head coach and GM. That doesn't happen in sports much anymore.
Not really.
But his four seasons, they went 162 and 166. They made the playoffs twice, decided that was time to step down. 1989, Rory McIlroy was born in County Down in Northern Ireland. Since joining the PGA Tour in 2007, he's won two PGA championships, one U.S. Open and one British Open. 1986, the Supersonics held Houston and center Hakeem Olajuwon, to 6 points and a 108-75 beating at Seattle's Key Arena to win game one of the NBA Western Conference. Semisonics swept the Rockets en route to making the finals. And 2018, Albert Pujols recorded his 3,000th hit against Seattle Mariners pitcher Mike Leake in a 5-0 Angels win at Safeco Field. All right, that's this day in sports history. Still time to text or call in today, 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. All right, we will take a break, and we will come back with more on the program. Garbage time coming up in a few minutes. We'll have that for you right here on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
Welcome back, 936. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Still time to offer up who would make up your empire, your first order, the bad guys. If you're a Colorado sports fan, the Rebel Alliance would be that for you. It could be all time. Charlie Blackman is... as Chewbacca, I can see it with the hair. I can see it with the facial hair.
Well, and all the other hair.
Is Luke automatically John Elway?
Kind of, yeah.
Han? Who would be Han?
Kind PFM.
Of, probably PFM would fit that the most, because it's got to be somebody with a personality, right? Kind of a character. No, if PFM necessarily has the roguish charm of Han Solo, but
I'm sure he
probably fits into that. All right, so text in today. Chance to win Qdoba, 970-242-1340. Something to maybe keep an eye on here, if you're a Broncos fan, the Bears released starting left tackle Charles Leno. Leno's a guy that 93 consecutive starts in the past seven seasons with the Bears, but they... drafted offensive tackle out of Oklahoma State, Tevin Jenkins, and they traded up in the second round to get him. And so the feeling was it was time to move on from Leno. Could we see maybe the Broncos reach out and try to bring in Charles Leno on that offensive line? I don't know how much left right tackle he's played. I do get the sense, though, that Denver's, they feel, obviously, with Garrett Bowles, they signed him to a new deal and everything. There seems to be a lot of confidence that Juwan James will play a full season this year, stay healthy, that the locker room will hopefully welcome him back after Garrett Bowles made the comments in January that, you know, he's got some work to do to repair his relationships with his teammates after opting out last year, which I don't know, that's a fair thing to say if you're Garrett Bowles, but okay, he said it. But anyway, it's something you might keep an eye on if they can get Leno at a low cost, give him some depth on that offensive line. Got started a lot. Like I said, I don't know how much right tackle he's played, but could be a potential backup if the price is right to Garrett Bowles. Also, keeping it on the Rodgers watch, right, as we every day. This is how it's going to be, I think, through June, through June 1st, when that salary cap number drops in about half.
Rodgers! This can't double check!
Yeah, it'll be the constant updating of where things are with Aaron Rodgers. A piece in The Athletic from the Packers website there, and it's mostly about talking about the Packers depth chart and the rookies that they drafted. Where do those guys land in the depth chart? But they also address, obviously, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in the feud right now. They have some options here of what might happen. And I still think, don't be surprised to see a Carson Palmer 2.0 kind of thing here. Remember Carson Palmer wanted out of Cincinnati? Mm-hmm. Said, trade me or I retire. He did. And then that forced the Bengals' hand to trade him to the Raiders back in the day. Don't be shocked to see Rodgers go, fine, I'll just retire. You'll get nothing for me. And that forces their hand. We'll see. But according to the Packers website at The Athletic, that Rodgers has softened his stance about Gutekunst, the GM, at least publicly, and in an effort to try to save face with the fan base and the public. But it still doesn't look like that relationship's going to be repaired. And this, you know, it's one of the options that should say that Rodgers will do that, that he'll backpedal a little bit about Gutekunst and he'll say, look, you know, I'm sorry things went the way they did. We'll see. And then maybe he just decides to call it quits. That he also softens his stance about Gutekunst's job publicly through an anonymous source and stays with the Packers. That even though he still doesn't like Gutekunst, that this is at least a way that he can stay with the Packers, save face, and finish his career in Green Bay. I guess these are things that are, what's the most likely here? 3, Rodgers never softens his stance about Gutekunst publicly or anonymously, but he stays with the Packers and then just bites the bullet. He never says, I'm sorry. He just shows up, training camp, like it never happened. Also, that he never softens his stance about the GM publicly and through an anonymously sourced report, never softens his stance and then never plays the Packers again. And that, what does that leave his legacy? If he decides to just go, okay, I'm done, and then never plays again. Let's simplify it here a little bit. Because this is a little bit complicated how he goes
There's
through these.
There's a whole lot of hypotheticals in there.
More likely than not, Rodgers stays with the Packers, or he retires and he forces the Packers' hand to trade him.
I think he gets traded. I'm not sure he does the whole retired bit, but I definitely think it's more likely he's not a Packer than it remains a Packer.
Well, we'll just leave it trade.
Season.
Trade either he retires, forces their hand to trade him, or they just say, okay, we're giving up here.
I don't think he's their quarterback to start the season. No matter how it happens, I don't think he's their quarterback. I think he's going to figure out a way out of Wisconsin.
Has it gone too far now?
I think it has.
Can it not? Is it now beyond the point of being repaired?
Yeah, I think so.
I think the Packers would be okay if he came back and said, I think on his part, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers, I still think, and I get the feeling from, you know, Murphy, the team president, issued a statement, hey, we want him back. We want him to finish his career with Green Bay. We still love and respect him. And, you know, saying all the things that that he's supposed to say. You know, and Gutekunst has said the same things as well. Hey, we still want him here. He's still our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, like I've said before about Aaron Rodgers, when he's mad about something, he doesn't let it go.
No, he doesn't.
Remember the, you know, the now historic chip on his shoulder, all the teams that passed him over until the Packers took him 24th in the first round, and how, you know, a little bit like Brady, you know, all the teams that passed me over, has that chip on his shoulder, has used that as fuel for his fire throughout the course of his career.
Yeah.
That he's just the kind of guy that seems like, if you make me mad,
I'm going to stick it.
There's probably no way I'm ever going to get over it. At least that is the perception I have of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, same here.
And so I tend to think this deal truly probably, this relationship is probably over. Now the question becomes, what's next? Do the Packers go, okay, do they give in? Do they acquiesce and say, okay, you don't want to be here. We're through trying to fix this relationship publicly and privately. We're done. And then does he end up with the Broncos? Is this an automatic, or is it, will somebody else jump into this conversation? Because it seems like it's down to the Broncos and the Raiders right now. Mm-hmm. Of the two teams that he's indicated he wants to go to. He wants to play out west. Obviously, the Packers would like him to not be in the NFC anymore if they have to trade him. Does somebody else in the West jump into this conversation? And who might that be? The Raiders are always looking. It seems like they just, since John Gruden has come back to the Raiders, he just doesn't seem like he has much use for Derek Carr.
Like Dan Patrick says, John Gruden loves every quarterback that's not already his.
Yeah. And so, okay, that opens up the door for them, and Rodgers has said that. But who else, that's supposedly one of the teams that he would prefer to be traded to, is there anybody else that we're not thinking about, though, that could say, hey, well, what about us? How would you like to play here? I'm just going to go AFC East. Jets have drafted Wilson. They're out of it. Buffalo's got Josh Allen. Why would you if you're them?
I mean, if we go down the list.
I mean, the Patriots have drafted Mac Jones. They've got Newton there for a year to kind of hold down, you know, the fort until Mac Jones is ready. Dolphins have Tua. You go, I mean, he wants to be out west, so Pittsburgh. And what do you, I mean, you have Roethlisberger back.
Does he, though? Is that something we know for certain? That's or is that just an assumption?
That's what I've heard. That's what I've read, that according to reports, his preference is to be out west, closer to the coast.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a lot about Shailene Woodley, his fiance. They're calling her Yoko Ono, basically, in Green Bay these days. That, you know, her home in Boulder, that's playing a role in this. But, you know, I don't see the Steelers getting in on this.
With Olivia Munn, there was still the talk of, he may want to move to L.A. for her. And so, I mean, it's
not the first time.
It's unfair to paint Shailene Woodley in this.
It's not fair to her at all. It's not. Because he's making this decision.
There are no Indy races in Wisconsin, and none of this was brought up for Danica Patrick.
Yeah, he wants out, and it's not fair for people to make the connection to her and saying that she's manipulating him to leave. I think he has his own axes to grind, his own reasons why, and they have nothing to do with her. Mm-hmm. Bengals have Burrow. He wouldn't go there anyway. He wants to go to a team he feels like can contend
at the divisions. NFC East, probably Washington. They'd take him.
But the Packers, they'll want him out of...
I know. I'm just looking at possible
and that's fine. They're going to want him out of the NFC.
Absolutely. But I mean, Washington, Philly, maybe. They're not going to trade him to anybody in the North. That's not going to happen. New Orleans, Carolina.
How about this? Russell Wilson to the Packers. Rodgers,
I've heard some of that.
Rodgers to Seattle.
They're like, oh, well, Russell Wilson. He played college football in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want to go play for the Panthers. He also played college football in North Carolina. So
true.
I'm not sure how much that... And if Shailene Woodley does not like Wisconsin, would Sierra like Wisconsin?
Probably not.
Probably not.
And we don't know how much Shailene Woodley likes or dislikes Green Bay.
Well, I mean, if it's going to be part of the discussion about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's got to be the same with
Sierra. Way more well-known than Shailene Woodley is.
True. I agree with you. And they're married, too. It's mm-hmm. not, there's that.
Married kids, the whole
connection.
Deal.
Yeah, exactly.
But Raiders, I think everybody in the AFC South not named Jacksonville would take him. Carson Wentz, Tannehill, sure. But if you had the chance, you would take him. Houston, absolutely. You know.
Yeah, there would be, I think, zero hesitation on the part of Houston right now because I think you get the sense of them drafting, what, Davis Mills,
mm-hmm.
the Stanford quarterback.
They're trying to figure out a way.
They're anticipating things not ending yeah. well for Deshaun Watson.
You know, and in the North, we talked Joe Burrow coming off the knee surgery. And as much as I love Baker Mayfield, you drop Aaron Rodgers into the Browns, they're a Final Four team. You know what I mean?
With yeah.
that
oh, absolutely.
Offense, that defense, they're right there with Kansas City in the AFC, which is so weird.
But do you
to
feel
say.
Like, though, if you're the Browns, though, that Baker's now playing good football more consistently, even though Rodgers would be an upgrade, that long term, that's a setback because he is 37 going on 38? It's a setback in terms of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, a little bit. And you're definitely mortgaging the future to win now. But, you know, with the exception of 2013 and 2017, Aaron Rodgers has played 15 games a year.
Yeah, his durability is outstanding.
He's in the Tom Brady range right now. And look at the way Brady's playing at, what, 42, 43?
43.
I think Rodgers can do that. He's got a little more escapability than Tom Brady does, too.
And you get the sense that he wants to keep playing.
So if you get 5 years out of Aaron Rodgers, are you willing to take that over Baker Mayfield? I would.
Probably
absolutely.
So. I'm just asking the hypothetical question.
No,
what
yeah,
do you mean?
100%.
Because you've now developed this guy to the point where he's a consistent quarterback mm-hmm. for your football team. I get it that it's Aaron Rodgers.
But Aaron Rodgers, though.
I know. That's the thing. He's a guy that, with your roster,
mm-hmm.
you're already a team that will be discussed among the contenders.
Yeah.
For the playoffs in the Super Bowl in the AFC, you move even closer to right there with Kansas City
mm-hmm.
and Buffalo as being maybe the three prime contenders for the Super Bowl in the AFC.
But like we said, I think it was the first hour. One team called them. There should be 20 teams calling them because there's a lot of quarterbacks in the league right now that you believe are firmly entrenched starters. That you would jettison for Aaron Rodgers. Like I said, everybody in the South not named Jacksonville.
Right.
Absolutely. Like,
Ryan Tannehill's played well. He's played and signed the huge contract and has helped them get to an AFC championship game.
You give Aaron Rodgers that type of running game?
But yeah, if you're saying, sorry, Ryan.
Yeah. Peace out. Sorry.
Texans with Deshaun Watson's situation? Absolutely, they would.
I don't think Aaron would go there, though.
No, I don't think
so. That team's going to suck.
Aaron's like, he wants to go to a team where he's got a shot at getting to a Super Bowl.
Bring him to the Lakeshore. Let's make it happen.
Not west enough for him, I don't think, if that's really any...
but it is January
enough for
him.
It's a realistic criteria, that's part of the criteria, mm-hmm. where that's what realistically what he's put together is on his laundry list yeah. of things that he has to have.
Deep enough west,
I don't think
but
it's probably
going to
work.
Deep enough in January. Let's make it happen. I don't
Let's
think 12
make it
retired.
Happen. coming to the Mile High City.
Eh.
Aaron, you look really good in orange and blue, man.
They already had
look
Elway really Manning. Good. No. Let somebody else have some fun.
Well, come on. You had Otto Graham and Brian Sipe and Bernie Kosar, right? Come on. That's like the same thing, right?
12 is available. I'm sure somebody's wearing it on the roster, but they'll give it up. Or they're going to get fired. Hey, give number 12 to Aaron Rodgers. No, I don't think. No, okay, you're gone. You are cut.
It's funny, all the talk today, we have not even brought up the fact they released Jeff Driskel.
Yeah. Kadarius Hodge, sorry, you're giving up number 12 if he comes to Cleveland.
All right, let's quickly wrap it up with some garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
You going to pick a winner for Qdoba today as well?
I believe I will.
Okay. All right, so we will let you know, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to text the winner.
I got one in mind if you want to hit the thing.
Okay, let me do this. Let me hit that. And there we go.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
You know me. I like a lot of snark. Scott with the Darth Vader being the Monforts. That's a good one.
It's a good one.
He gets Qdoba today.
All right. Garbage time. Tampa Bay Rays ace Tyler Glasnow pitched a really good game Monday in the win over the LA Angels. But there was one moment that was a little embarrassing. He threw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball by Angels outfielder Justin Upton, bottom of the second inning. It's a great pitch.
Yeah, it was.
But the problem was, it wasn't the final one of the at-bat. Glasnow thought it was. He did the premature strikeout strut, started to walk off the mound before realizing, oh, that's only strike two.
Yeah. And last week, he got the text from Mom because he struck out somebody. And he turned around, and he's bleeping, and yeah, and bleeping, and this, and bleeping. And Mom texts him that he probably shouldn't curse as much on TV anymore.
Tyler, how many times have I told you, Tyler? Like,
and the center field cam picked it up clear as day, too.
Yeah, not bleepity.
You could see, because he was... I love Tyler Glasnow, too, but yeah. Make sure it's three strikes.
Anything? Got anything here?
No. Okay. No, I'm good.
Tomorrow's program, Connor McGahee. Yeah, Avs Nuggets Day tomorrow. Connor McGahee at 8:20. Katie Wingy at 8:40 tomorrow. Talk Nuggets on the program. And we'll be back here with you tomorrow, 7 o'clock, on the Team Sports Network for the Buckeye Boy. I'm Jim. Have a great day. Don't forget, Rockies at 3 o'clock today, followed by high school baseball, Fruita, and Palisade tonight.